Our various outings, we seek to take the young people on, and one of them is planned, God willing, for the month of October, a youth weekend for them. And then the loose offering that's lifted today will help subsidise the costs for that weekend. Do remember the evening service, 7 p.m, and of course the time of prayer at 6:30 up in the upper room. And the young people will be back again this evening, and the Reverend Leckie will be along to preach again. We do leave that service before you. We encourage you to attend, encourage you to invite and bring others in as well, and even the place of prayer, young people as well. We're looking for you in the place of prayer from 6:30 onwards. Wednesday evening, a prayer meeting, a Bible study at 8 p.m., and God willing, I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. We do pay a word of thanks to our brother Ivan for covering for us during the week past. Friday evening, then we have our youth outing for the young people. And young people, if you meet here for 6:45, and then God willing, we'll fit everyone into the two cars, and we're heading up to Prison Island in Belfast. Now, for the older folk, if you're wondering what Prison Island is, that's not Alcatraz. It is. Older people might remember Crystal Maze on TV. Well, this is a place that does all different kind of activities and challenges. And so hopefully the young people's going to be split up into two teams and then have these activities for that time in Belfast. So young people, just bring money for some food afterwards, please. Presbytery is also on this Friday night for members of session. It's in our Macrofelt Church at 8 p.m. and being put back that 1 week because of the Jubilee weekend. So members of session, we remind you of that. Next Sunday then, the service is the final Sabbath school of the year at 10:30. And then Children's Morning, 11:30, another special date in our calendar we're looking forward to, as the children and the young people of our Sabbath school will come along and take part. And Mr. Kyle Boyd, the children's leader of our Crossgar congregation, will be the special speaker next Sunday morning. And we do encourage you to come again, support the children, support the young people and the Sabbath school as they're coming to take part next Sunday morning. We do pray for God's blessing to be upon that service. And then in the evening time at 7 p.m., our brother Kyle will be back to give a personal word of testimony of how the Lord has undertaken for him in his life and how the Lord saved him and how the Lord is now using him. And he has a wonderful word of testimony. I'm saying nothing about it because usually I start and give too much away about the individual's testimonies. But you come next week and hear our brother's testimony. And we do trust and pray that the Lord will bless in those services. Just a couple of other announcements. In the will of the Lord, Friday the 17th of June will be our barbecue evening here in the church grounds once again, like last year. And if it's too wet on the 17th, then we'll hopefully just push it back the 1 week to the 24th. But we're aiming for Friday the 17th, and we'd love to see each and every one gather to that time of fellowship and to that barbecue evening here in the church. Now, all of the burgers and the sausages will be provided and cooked, and hopefully well cooked and not burnt to cinder, but hopefully well cooked and delicious like last year. And so if you could help us out by just simply putting your name on that page if you're coming to the barbecue, so we can ascertain the numbers and order in the meats. This here page, we're looking at the ladies once again. Now in the past, I only had 1 year of tasting all of your lovely desserts. And then of course that came to an end with COVID coming. But ladies, we're looking some help again. If you have a special dessert, if you put your name in the dessert you're doing for that evening, would be very, very much indebted to you. And maybe there's some men here have a gift as well. We were in a house recently and we had a chocolate waffle berry pie for dessert. And it turned out it was a man of the house that made it. And it was lovely. So maybe there's some men here who are fantastic at doing desserts. Well, if you want to do the dessert for that evening, if we can have some desserts, please, for that evening. As I say, the burgers, the sausages are provided. If yous can do then the desserts, that would be much appreciated. Just a final announcement, do remember and continue to remember the students of the college. They're entering into their second week of examinations this week. Continue to pray for them that the Lord will bless them and the Lord will help them and bring them through their time of examination. I'm going to hand over to our brother Stephen now, our youth leader. We thank him for all of his efforts throughout the year and all of his labours. And he's going to lead the service and introduce each part as it comes.
Let's start our meeting with our opening hymn, which is number 396. 396, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my life. And we will stand to sing after the introduction. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning with a heart of thankfulness. Father, we thank you for the opening of this building. Father, we thank you for the open door that we can come in, that we can meet with you, and that we can worship you. Father, we pray that as we begin our service, Father, that you will be with us in everything we do. Father, we thank you for the members of the Youth Fellowship, Lord. We thank you for their faithfulness throughout the past year. Father, we thank you for the families that faithfully send them along. Father, we pray that as each member of the Youth Fellowship would gather with us, both today and in our meetings in Youth Fellowship, Lord, that you would be with them. Lord, that you would open their hearts, open their ears. Father, that they can hear your word proclaimed. Father, we pray that you'll be with them each day, Father, that whether that be in school or work or in university. Father, we pray that each one would know your guiding hand. And Father, our earnest prayer, Father, is that each one would come to know you as their own and personal Savior. Father, we thank you for each one. We pray that you bless them as they take part today. Father, we pray for our church as a whole. Father, we thank you for our denomination. Father, we thank you for the blessings over many years. And Father, even as we celebrated the anniversary of this building recently, Father, we thank you for the witness here in this corner of your vineyard. Father, we pray that you continue to bless it, continue to reach souls in this area. Father, we pray for all the people on our doorstep that know you not. Father, we pray that for the hardened hearts, Father, that have the gospel opportunity all around them, but Father, won't take that chance, won't take that opportunity. Father, we pray that you'd work on them, whether that's through a friend, through a family member, through a gospel tract. Lord, we pray that you would reach their souls, and bring them to personal knowledge of you. Father, in this Jubilee weekend, Father, we thank you for our sovereign. Father, we thank you for Queen Elizabeth II. Father, we thank you for her reign. And Father, we pray that even her influence, Lord, could have an effect for you. Father, we pray for the government that sits under her. Father, we pray that they would even see your command, your scriptural commands. Father, that they would feel that obligation. Father, even that when they set laws today, Father, that they would seek your word first and seek you in prayer. Father, we yearn for that. Father, pray for us today as we meet together. Bless us as we go throughout the day and pray that you bring us all back again this evening. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll ask Louise Cuthbertson to come forward and read our psalm for this morning. Thank you, Louise.
Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice, when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let them reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord, in thee is my trust. Let not my soul destitute. Keep me from thy snares which thou have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall under their own nets, whilst that I withal escape.
Thank you, Louise. I'm going to make you do plenty of walking here, for I'm going to ask the Hugh Fellowship to come forward now and sing a piece to us, and then immediately after that, if Judah Omerod would come forward and bring his testimony. Thank you.
I want to share with you a verse before we start. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home with two godly parents. When I was 4 years old, I got saved on the 11th of February, 2013. My dad was away at the time, but I spoke to my mum and told her that I wanted to get saved. She explained what it meant to be saved and how to get saved, and then went on to lead me to the Lord. There and then, the Lord saved me from my sins. After I got saved, I told my dad what had happened when he got home. I also phoned my grandparents and told them. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God has blessed me many times after this. One of those occasions was when I was sitting the AQE exams in P7. I was sick during the week of one of the exams, and when I came to the Saturday, I still wasn't feeling well. But I can say the Lord helped me through. I really enjoy the youth fellowship, both the meetings in the church and also youth outings, and also youth rallies that happen every so often, as they are a great way to meet new people and other Christians. And the messages are always applicable to everyday circumstances that young people face, whether that is in school or those in the workplace. In school, I have found that there are many who are opposed to the gospel and who don't always understand why we are against certain issues, such as abortion and LGBTQ. But thankfully, the Lord gives help and gives the words to say. The Christian life isn't easy, both for young people and I'm sure older as well. But even though there are many times when I let down the Lord, he is so good to me and helps me every day. Thank you.
Isn't it wonderful to hear of the Lord's salvation, even in the young people in our church? Thank you very much, Judah, for bringing that word to us. Our next hymn is a hymn that Judah can sing with all his heart. Hopefully it's one that you can as well. It's number 351, and the chorus says, "It is well, it is well with my soul," and I hope it is well with your soul. And if it isn't, then you have to make that a priority and come to know the Saviour as your own today. We'll stand to sing this hymn after the introduction.
Thank you.
At this point, we're going to ask Rhoda Fleming to come forward and bring the scripture reading, and then immediately after that, we'll hand to the Reverend Lackey to bring us forward from there. Thank you.
Our Bible reading is found in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and the verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?
Thank you very much for doing that Bible reading, and can I thank all the young people for their contributions. I truly enjoyed it. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a privilege also. We thank the Reverend Ormerod for his invitation to come and to speak at your youth service. The more grey hairs I count on my head, the more of a privilege and a pleasure it is to get invitations to speak at youth events. So it is very, very nice to be here. I give him a slight troublesome phone call this morning. I wanted to make a slight amendment to my Bible readings, and I phoned him. It was about, I think, maybe 8:30 or so. And of course, when you get a call from the visiting speaker at that time, just before a Sunday morning service, can mean bad news. And then there's a panic on if he can't come. So I'm sorry for doing that, brother. Sorry for causing you that little bit of angst. But as I say, it's lovely to be here. I want you to turn your attention just to two words in verse 12. We're going to just bring a very simple meditation to young people, of course, but not primarily, aren't primarily to young people, but not exclusively to young people, to all here. A simple meditation on those two words in verse 12, power and the word holiness. Peter says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? With the Bible open before us, let's seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need power this morning. And we come before thee as mere creatures of the dirt. Whether we're hearing or whether we're preaching, we're still creatures of the dirt. And we stand before thee in weakness and in need of thy power. We pray that we will know the intervention of God, the Holy Spirit, that he in his sovereign will come and will touch hearts today. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that in all things thy name, in the name of Jesus Christ, will have all the glory. Amen. I was watching a documentary recently about new technology that was being developed in the Far East. And there was a company that was featured on it called TransferFi. It sounded a bit like Wi-Fi, and it was intended to sound a bit like Wi-Fi, TransferFi. And they specialized in wireless power transfer. Now, I'm sure young people, and maybe not just the young people, but the more senior members have maybe got wireless charging on your telephone. and you just set it on the pad and there's no wires involved. It just sits there and charges up. Well, this was a development on that theme, because it was the development of being able to transfer power over the airwaves. And they set up a test with a transmitter at one end of the room on a pole, and then at the other end of the room they had a receiver that was hooked up to a bulb, and it was quite clear to see that that was all the wiring. There was no secret wires joining the two in any way. And they switched it on and they sent power through the airwaves, and they were able to light up the receiver, the display board that was meters away. Tremendous development in technology. You think about the potential of that, to be able to transmit power over long distances without cables. It's a little bit worrying too, when you think about how that will have an effect in our bodies. But nonetheless, it's a tremendous development. Power from a source to the point of use with an invisible link. No physical link. Now, we have read a story here, and it's all about power, real power. It centers around a man who was weak, a man who was weak in his feet and his ankles, the text tells us, and he received power. He received strength, and the effect is absolutely amazing. This cripple of around 40 years leaps through the temple. He leaps through the porch of the temple, and the effect, the ripple effect, on those that were watching was absolutely amazing. 5,000 people saved, if you read on. 5,000. Tremendous. Power. Real power. The power of God transmitted wirelessly, if you want to put it like that, through Peter and John. As you can see in the verse that we read, Peter states quite clearly that it's God's power. He asks the people, do you think this was our power? Or holiness that did this? No. The implication is, it's God's power through us. Peter was the receiver. Peter was the channel of the power of God to this man. Now, Peter was a young man. Let me underline that to you, young people. Peter was a young man. We believe that the disciples were in their late teens. And Peter, we do believe that Peter was the elder, the eldest of them all, and the leader. But nonetheless, he was still a young man. And this young man had power. Real power. And you know, I believe that that's what this world needs. Power. Powerful young people. Young people who are receivers. Young people who are the channels of God's power. Because we live in a very, very wicked and vile world. People's lives are truly broken. Broken by sin. Sin's not only tolerated, sin is now celebrated in this land. You watch the television shows and you see the storylines, and the storylines are all about sin. So often they're based around a pub or a club, and things like drunkenness and adultery and greed and drug use and abuse and homosexuality, those are just the storylines of the television shows that you see. You ask the question, why is that? Because those things are normal. Yes, I believe there's a certain amount that television producers are trying to encourage those things. But there's certainly a great deal of it. It's just reflective of what is normal in our society. And if you're a Christian, you should speak out about these things. You should tell the world that God is displeased with these things, and God will mock sin, or God will judge sin. He will not be mocked. Because Satan's sin machine continues to churn out and churn out more sin, and our world is just getting worse and worse and worse. And we have to ask the question, what impact is the Church of Christ having on this sinful world? What impact is the Church of Christ having on our society here in Ulster? Let's bring it a little bit closer. Let's come into County Tyrone, into my own place up in Cookstown, into 6 Mile Cross here. What impact is the church having? God is working across the world. God is working in revivals in the Far East and in places like China, in the Middle East amongst Muslims. Millions of people are getting saved. We're seeing massive, massive growth. But here in Ulster, what is happening? What effect Is the church of Christ having upon this sinful world that we live in? Are we being, could we say, salt and light to those around about us? Are we having a cleansing effect? Are we having a brightening effect in this world around about us? The church has never been so advanced. We're talking about technology. Church has never been so advanced. We have access to satellite television. We have access to social media. We have enough money. We have organization. We have people in positions of government. And yet what effect are we really having? And I come back to this point that what we need is power. Young people with power. The Christians in the book of Acts, they had power. There's no doubt about it. Peter and John had power. Mighty things were happening. Even in the face of great opposition, mighty things were happening. And can I say this to you folks? The book of Acts is written to let us see how the church should work. This is not written in any way as to be something unique. The book of Acts is written to let us see how the church should work. We should be seeing mighty acts. We should be seeing mighty witness. Yeah. So that when we speak, people feel ashamed of their sin. Yeah. We need power for that. We need power so that when we speak about the judgment of God, people shake with fear. You remember Paul when he spoke before the governor and Felix trembled. We would have to ask, do people tremble in gospel missions anymore? We need power so that when we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, they know it's real. When we speak about Christ in our life, people who hear us know it's real. They know it's not just something that we've been taught and catechized in, something that we've made up, but it's a fire in the very heart of our life. It's power. It's real power. It's not faked. It's not just emotion, because it's easy to whip up emotion. We're not just sort of whipping up ourselves into some level of excitement, but rather the dynamic power of God is working through us. There's a number of things that we need to do, of course. If you want power, there's a number of things that you have to do to get power. You've got to humble yourself. No doubt about that. You've got to confess your need to the Lord. You've got to pray. Because prayer and power don't just sound like one another. They're very closely linked. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, you know where that's going. But this morning I want to speak about something else that we need if we're going to have power. And young people, you need this if you're going to have power. And it's holiness. Real, genuine holiness. Now, sometimes when you say the word holiness, people run a mile. You know, they think that holiness is something that sucks the fun out of life. It's a list of do's and don'ts, sort of the length of your arm. It's like living in a straitjacket in some way, but it's not. Young people, holiness is the secret of power. Let me say that again. Holiness is the secret of power. We will never, ever be receivers of the power of God until we live holy lives. It just simply won't happen. And you young people will never have an impact in this world, in your school, in your job, in your university, in your locality, without holiness. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. Not complicated at all. It's that simple. So I want to speak to you this morning on power and holiness. And let's just turn back to verse 12. Look at what Paul says. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? What do you think? Do you think it was our power? Do you think it was our holiness that made this man to walk? Isn't that an interesting thing to say? Paul links these two things together. You see, Paul understood that power and holiness go together. And as you work your way from cover to cover, right throughout this Bible, you will realize that the one is linked to the other. Power and holiness. Power and holiness. Power and holiness. You remember Peter, on another occasion in Luke chapter 5, do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion commandeered Peter's fishing boat? And he turned Peter's fishing boat into a pulpit. Peter was washing his nets. He just had a complete nightmare of a night disaster. Didn't even catch a sprick, as we would say. And the Lord Jesus Christ preached a sermon from his boat, used it as a pulpit, and afterwards he instructs Peter, launch out into the deep for a big catch. And Peter sort of reluctantly says, well, you know, Lord, we've been going there all night. You know, we've been out working, you know. You can sort of see Peter, I mean, does the Lord not know what we were doing? Does he think we were loafing throughout the night? Lord, we're the professional fishermen here. You know what happens? The two boats are nearly sunk with the catch. They had to get help because of the catch that they brought in. And Peter, turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and Peter says a very interesting thing. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. It says a fascinating thing. It says when Peter saw it, verse 8, Luke 5 and 8, when Peter saw that the great multitude of fishes, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So what Peter's saying is, Lord, I can't stand before you because you are holy. Yeah. Now, Peter doesn't mention the power of God. He doesn't mention the Lord Jesus Christ's power. Yet, of course, that was on display, very clearly on display. Peter doesn't say, Lord, I am weak and you are powerful. No, he doesn't say that. He says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I am a sinner, and you're holy. He recognizes the Lord's holiness. And Peter recognized the Lord's holiness because he saw the Lord's power. Quite simple. Holiness and power always go together right the way through the Word of God. Holiness, young people, makes you a receiver, makes you a channel of the power of God. Moses was another man with power. Moses was a man who brought the world's superpower to its knees. Egypt was the superpower. Egypt was the America. Egypt was the China. Well, depending on how you view world events, of course. Egypt was the superpower of its day. Pharaoh was a man with real power, and yet he listened to Moses when he spoke. Now, he may have hardened his heart, there's no doubt about that. But he listened. He knew Moses had power. And you think about it, young people. Where was Moses when God called him? When God said, I'm going to give you power to lead, and you will defeat the greatest superpower in the world at this time, where was he? He was on holy ground. He was told to take off his shoes because you're standing on holy ground. C.H. Spurgeon says this. He says, in proportion as the church is holy, in that proportion will its testimony be powerful. It's a mathematical link. As holiness rises, so does power. Don't ever, ever, young person, don't ever let the devil tell you that holiness is weakness. It's power. That's why he tells you it's weakness. Because he knows it's power. Yeah. You know that, thinking of Moses, you know that in the scriptures, Egypt represents, or there's parallels between Egypt and this world. This world that we live in. If you want the world to listen to you, young people, like Egypt did to Moses, then you've first got to stand on holy ground. Simple as this. Yeah. Like, of course, Christian, if you're saved, you're forgiven for every sin that you commit. Sins of your past are forgiven if you're saved, the sins of your present and the sins of your future. Sin cannot change how you are, where you will spend eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But sin can certainly change how you spend your life. Every time Satan tempts you, you get a picture in your mind. You get a picture of a dashboard in your mind with two dials on it. Yeah, two gauges, like the old-fashioned cars had. One marked sin and the other marked power. Because you see, as the sin goes up, the power comes down. Simple. Very simple lesson. But it's a simple lesson that a lot of people haven't gripped yet. They haven't worked it out. Yeah. You ever think about the Lord's Prayer? Interesting, we were watching that program yesterday on the television. We watched a bit of it. The service of giving thanks. I think it was Friday, sorry. For our monarch in St. Paul's Cathedral. And it came to the Lord's Prayer, and so many of them had to read it. So many of them were constantly checking down to their pages to read the Lord's Prayer. Because quite evidently they hadn't got it lodged in their heart or their mind. You think about the Lord's Prayer, I'm sure you've said it many, many times. At the beginning of the prayer, you've got holiness. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, let people see that your name is holy. Let me see that your name is holy. And what's prayed after that? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now what is a kingdom? A kingdom is all about power. A kingdom is the area under which a king exercises power. Holiness and power. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, you have exactly the same thing. What's the last thing that's prayed for? Lord, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. The beginning at the end. Yeah. You know, over the last number of years, the Chinese government have been rolling out a system. It's called the social credit system. Each citizen gets a certain number of points. I believe it to be 300 points. And points can be added. Points can be taken off. Good people get points if they do good things. They're able to use public transport in a cheaper way. You know, if they keep fit, if they report crime, various other things, they get points. Bad people lose points. If they associate with people the government don't like, they lose points. If they argue with the authorities or with the police, they lose points. If they're drunk in public, they lose points. The more points you get, the better job you get, the better mortgage rate you get, the better travel opportunities, the better schools that you can send your children to. And of course, the opposite is true. The less points that you have, that limits the jobs that you can get, limits where you can live, limits how you can travel, even the restaurants you can go to. Imagine the Chinese Communist Party having a points-based system like that. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah. In 2018, there were 9 million people who were low integrity people in China that were barred from flights because of the system. Now, the reason why I mention that to you is because I don't want you to think about holiness and power that way. I don't want you to think about holiness and striving to be holy just so that you can get power and perks from the Lord. That's not what it's about. It's not power to make life easier. It's not power to make life more comfortable, young people. It's power for witness. Power to bring glory to God by witnessing through him. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 1. You're in Acts chapter 3. Just flick a few pages back into Acts chapter 1 and you'll see that famous verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Power for witness. Power from the Holy Spirit for witness. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is power. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do his miracles by his own strength. No. Lord Jesus Christ wasn't going about showing off. It wasn't a case of, look what I can do. You study the Bible, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ did his miracles through the power of the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit. He healed the sick. He walked in water. He raised Lazarus. He even offered himself on the cross and rose by the power of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of God is, there's power. You see, folks, the Holy Spirit is not called the Holy Spirit because he's holy. Both the Father and the Son are holy. Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit because he makes us holy. That's his role. He makes us holy and gives us power for witness. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to witness. Now, young people, you can't. Here's another thing that a lot of people haven't grasped. You cannot become holy just by gritting your teeth and saying, I'm not going to sin. It doesn't work like that. You don't have the strength to do that. You become holy as you prayerfully read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit strengthens you. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and he uses it to cleanse your life. And then he gives you power. Then he gives you victory over sin. Yeah? Now turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 6. In my quiet time, I was reading in Isaiah. And Isaiah was a very smart man. Isaiah was very, very intelligent. You can tell that by the scale, the size of his book, and by the vast amount of subjects that Isaiah writes upon. Immensely powerful, intelligent man, related, we believe, into the royal family, close to King Uzziah. And then if you come over to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, and let's read the first couple of verses, because Uzziah died, and the prophet Isaiah saw a different king. He saw the King of Kings. It says in the year, verse 1 of Isaiah 6, in the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Now there's power. And his train filled the temple, and there's power again. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah got a vision of God in his power, sitting on the throne, high above all. In other words, the visual metaphor is that God's power is absolute. And his train filled the temple. That's another visual metaphor. His train flows out. Train is a visual metaphor of power. You can see the king leading, walking, and in his wake, in his train, is this vast amount of material flowing over everything, and the king is pulling it along with him. It's a visual metaphor for power. His power flowing over and taking over the whole area. It's a power picture. Picture of his majesty. And what's the first thing Isaiah sees after he sees the power of God? He sees the angels singing. And what are they singing? Holy, holy, holy. Six wings. One set to fly with. Another to cover the face because they're ashamed of themselves before God. Another to cover the feet. To cover their walk. To cover their life because they're not holy enough to stand before God. Power and holiness together again. What's the reason? What's the reason that God showed Isaiah this? Well, if you go down to verse 8, you'll see the reason. Whom shall I send? Who will go and witness for me? Holiness, power, witness. Very simple, young people. And my time is up. I've taken too long already. I could give you example after example. I could talk about, you know, Joseph, that holy young man. His holiness was contrasted with the sinfulness of his brothers. And God gave him power. Power over Egypt. I could talk about Samuel, that old holy man of God, that old holy prophet. And when he went into Bethlehem, the elders of the city, of the town of Bethlehem, trembled at the presence of this geriatric. Why? Because he had power. I could talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power with his people. The army of God, they're not wearing green camouflage outfits. What are they wearing? White linen. Holiness and power. Young people, older folks, we need men. We need women of power to face this wicked world. And it begins with holiness. It will not come without holy living. In life, don't aim to be happy. Aim to be holy. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can even discuss this subject. Thank you, Lord, that we can discuss it because you have chosen and are still choosing to use young people and older people as channels for your power. It's a humbling thought, Lord, that you could take any one of us and use us as a channel for your power. But Lord, we pray that we will be those clean vessels, that we will be the clean channels. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to, through prayer, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, through every practical means that we can, Lord, that we will seek to strive on to holiness, even striving on to blood. Oh, Lord, help us. Bless the young people here. We thank you for them. Thank you for those that took part and contributed to the meeting. Thank you for those that will take part this evening. We pray that you will bless their faithfulness to thee and strengthen them in their faith. Make them holy and make them young people of power for thee. Part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. And may the favor of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest.